Chapter 5. Combined Arms Breaches in Large-Scale Combat Operations. Leaders must recognize that the hard-won wisdom of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars is important to retain, but does not fully square with the exponential lethality, hyperactive chaos, and accelerated tempo of the multi-domain battlefield when facing a peer or near-peer adversary. Retired Lieutenant General Michael Lundy, former Combined Arms Center Commanding General. By publishing Field Manual 3O Operations, 6 October 2017, the Department of the Army, DA, signaled a paradigm shift in its role as a unified action partner in large-scale combat operations, LISCO. The manual explains that successful unified land operations require Army forces to seize, retain, and exploit the initiative by forcing an enemy to respond to friendly action. Seizing the initiative requires commanders to take action, often in the form of corps and division-led offensive operations designed to destroy or dislocate the enemy. To counter this action, enemy forces attempt to disrupt and slow friendly forces by tying together obstacles, fighting positions, and terrain, thereby forming a defense in depth. Friendly forces must be prepared to provide assured mobility through these defensive belts to maintain momentum and keep enemy forces off balance. This chapter emphasizes critical planning factors across the warfighting functions, WFFs, to prepare units to breach under these conditions. Army Techniques Publication, ATP 3-90.4, Combined Arms Mobility, 8 March 2016, describes assured mobility as a framework of processes, actions, and capabilities that assures the ability of a force to deploy, move, and maneuver where and when desired to achieve the commander's intent. A series of fundamentals, including prediction, detection, prevention, avoidance, neutralization, and protection, exists within this construct that enable friendly forces to maneuver. This chapter focuses on neutralization of a mindwire obstacle belt, arguably one of the most complex tasks a brigade combat team, BCT, may execute. It involves mitigating the enemy's direct fire, indirect fire, electronic warfare, EW, attack aviation, and chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear seaburn effects. This chapter emphasizes critical planning factors across the warfighting functions, WFFs, to prepare units to breach under these conditions. Maneuver commanders bear the responsibility for training their formations to execute combined arms breaching. Training and evaluation outlines, TNEOs, for Striker Brigade Combat Teams, SBCTs, and Armored Brigade Combat Teams, ABCTs, list the combined arms breach as a supporting collective task to the mission essential task, MET, of conduct an attack. Although some commanders regard this task as the brigade engineer's responsibility, combined arms breaches occur under the control of the maneuver commander. Thus, maneuver commanders and their staffs must be prepared to plan and execute breaching operations. The following breaching tenets are a logical starting point for any staff effort. Intelligence. Breaching fundamentals. Breaching organization. Flexibility. Mass. Synchronization. Picking up the red pen. The intelligence breaching tenet establishes the framework for all follow-on planning efforts. For commanders to task organize their formations effectively or to plan for branch plans that may occur, they must first understand the enemy, terrain, and weather situation in the breach area. This starts with developing a comprehensive enemy event template, which includes obstacle intelligence. Obstacle intelligence includes elements of information concerning the obstacle composition by type of obstacle, including minefield density for mined obstacles, dimensions of the obstacle with grid locations for start points, endpoints, and tentative points of breach, and some form of imagery. The Brigade Engineer Battalion, BEB S2 section, generally lacks direct control over collection assets. Most collection capabilities reside with the BCT or in the Cavalry Squadron. Given the importance of understanding the composition and location of obstacles, Commanders tasked to execute a combined arms breach should leverage a significant portion of available assets to answer information requirements. Although prior conflicts created staffs accustomed to ubiquitous unmanned aerial vehicle UAV coverage, enemy air defense AD capabilities may limit UAV employment in LSCO. Additionally, if contested across the space domain, geospatial intelligence GEOINT support may be limited to support strategic requirements elsewhere in the Joint Operational Area, JOA. The BCT may need to leverage the capabilities of the Cavalry Squadron, Human Intelligence, HUMINT, and Engineer Reconnaissance Teams, ERTs, to provide obstacle intelligence. Detailed preparations are required to successfully employ ERTs. As described in ATP 3-34.81, Engineer Reconnaissance, 1 March 2016, selecting soldiers to form an ERT requires a demonstrated ability to use measuring equipment to collect technical information, operate communications equipment, and provide obstacle intelligence reports. Commanders should ensure ERTs and supported reconnaissance elements train together at home station to build habitual relationships. The decision to employ ERTs comes at a cost of personnel. The BEB Sapper Company's Modified Table of Organization and Equipment, MTO, does not include an ERT. When selecting personnel for an ERT, the most obvious choice is the Route Clearance Platoon, RCP, in Bravo B Company of the BEB. During LSCO, against a near-peer threat, the RCP will likely secure routes tying the consolidation area support area to the close area. At the risk of exposing these routes to attack from special purpose forces, insurgent forces, or other malign actors, commanders can choose to form ERTs from the RCP. Additionally, the RCP option provides the BEB commander the ability to support multiple ERT missions without losing any breach capability from organic sapper platoons. Getting to the fight. The breaching organization breaching tenet identifies which friendly forces comprise the support, breach, and assault forces. Effective staffs use the reverse breach planning process outlined in ATP 3-90.4 and carefully consider the need to build redundancy into the plan. Redundancy, in this case, not only applies to the formations tasked to execute the operation, but also to critical pieces of equipment. Effective combined arms breaches require working equipment, so success starts with supervised and regularly occurring operator-level maintenance. This activity becomes even more important when freedom of action within a JOA cannot be guaranteed and supply lines are threatened. Executive officers, XOs, should identify low-density, long-lead-time parts which are mission-critical to breach-specific vehicles. M1150 Assault Breacher Vehicle, ABV, M58 Mine Clearing Line Charge, MCLIC, D6-D7 Dozer, and M1132 Engineer Squad Vehicle. To decrease reliance on Supply Support Activity, SSA, shop stock should be on hand to rapidly repair these critical pieces of equipment. Task organization requirements necessitate command and support relationship changes to provide maneuver task forces, TFs, with appropriate combat power. To account for these changes, forward support companies, FSCs, must prepare to receive sustainment assets that arrive to support the maneuver TF's engineer attachments. The FSCs should develop an attachment checklist that includes receiving all battle rosters, integration into resupply operations, including timelines and procedures, and incorporating additional maintenance assets into the unit maintenance collection point. Additionally, the TFS4 should discuss unique requirements with attachment leaders and accordingly recommend changes to the concept of sustainment. Planners must also carefully consider the ammunition requirements needed to achieve suppression and obscuration. This applies to cannon-fired artillery and other means of suppression and obscuration. Instead of artillery-fired obscurance, the operation may require use of TF mortars, smoke pots, and smoke grenades to achieve effective obscuration. The TFXO must be aware of statuses on ammunition ordering, receiving, and distributing. The XO should also implement reporting requirements from the TF staff to confirm receipt of the correct amount and type of ammunition. If timelines for ammunition upload begin to slip, the staff must inform the XO so they can coordinate with the BCT XO and S4 to pull an emergency Class 5 ammunition package from the Brigade Support Battalion's BSB's ammunition transfer holding point. The TF, S4, and FSC commander should consider planning a refuel on the move, ROM, before initiating suppressive fires to prevent the TF from culminating early. The purpose of a ROM is to provide fuel and extend the reach of maneuver forces when complete refueling operations are not practical. Given a near-peer threat with ground-moving target indicator, GMTI radar capabilities, enemy integrated fires commands, IFCs, will likely attempt to target concentrations of vehicles at templated distances beyond the line of contact. Planners should select a ROM site that provides adequate standoff for sustainment elements from direct and indirect fire weapon systems. Of note, the need for protection competes against the requirement to extend operational reach as far as possible for the TF. Planners should consider the trafficability of the ROM site to ensure all equipment that delivers and receives fuel can operate within the selected location. To further reduce the risk of losing critical sustainment assets, ROM operations require efficient execution and predetermined amounts of time for fueling. Planners should calculate how long each combat vehicle receives fuel using the rate of flow of each fueler and the fuel capacity of each piece of equipment. To further improve efficiency, the TF should rehearse the ROM, especially if executed under limited visibility conditions, and discuss planned communications methods and markings. Protecting the force. To prevent friendly forces from engaging defending ground forces, enemy commanders may seek to employ chemical weapons. Recent conflicts in Syria highlight the threat posed by seaborne weapons. BCTs employ active and passive seaborne defense measures to maintain operational momentum and protect critical assets. BCT active defense measures center around the ability to mass fires or air support to destroy seaborne-capable artillery or munitions before delivery. Passive defense includes the activities and equipment required to avoid seaborne threats by detecting and adjusting personnel protective measures and decontamination. ABCTs and SBCTs contain one seaborne reconnaissance platoon consisting of three M1135 Nuclear, Biological, and Chemical NBC reconnaissance vehicles, RVs. When determining where to locate the seaborne reconnaissance platoon, planners should consider where the enemy is most likely to employ seaborne munitions and highlight risk decisions to commanders regarding shortfalls on the defended asset list. The M1135 NBC RV is equipped to perform seaborne reconnaissance and identify hazards at range to correctly classify the type and persistency of hazards. Additional augmentation may include a hazard response company. The company consists of an additional seaborne reconnaissance platoon and two hazard assessment platoons capable of executing dismounted seaborne reconnaissance and decontamination operations. Organic assets within a maneuver TF include the M26 Joint Service Transportable Decontamination System to assist in operational decontamination, individual protective equipment, IPE, and organic seaborne detection equipment. Enemy forces employ seaborne effects via artillery, missile, or aircraft to achieve surprise and to disrupt non-persistent agents or block persistent agents' friendly avenues of approach along pieces of key terrain. During breaching operations, the enemy seeks to employ non-persistent agents against targets, typically key terrain, that disrupt a maneuver favorable to the attack or terrain required to further exploit as part of a counterattack. Enemy forces use persistent agents to deny main supply routes, MSRs, for sustainment or reserve elements, or to block an avenue of approach that cannot be easily defended. Understanding which type of agent the enemy is likely to employ drives staff actions to protect friendly forces against a strike. The S2 Seaburn Officer and Fire Support Officer, FSO, identify the likely means of delivery and target areas for an enemy Seaburn attack. The S2 and Seaburn Officer determine if weather conditions are favorable for Seaburn employment, since wind speeds, relative humidity, and temperature influence the effectiveness of chemical attacks. To assist the BCT's active Seaburn defense measures, the S2, with input from the FSO and Seaburn Officer, provide recommendations for the High Payoff Target List, HPTL. The TF should assign named areas of interest, NAIs, to the Seaburn Reconnaissance Platoons. These platoons gain contact within templated enemy Seaburn targets and confirm or deny the presence of Seaburn threats. The Seaburn Officer also recommends the Mission-Oriented Protective Posture, MOP level, and identifies potential operational, TF level, and thorough, BCT level, decontamination points. This requires the staff to coordinate for additional enablers, engineer assets for digging contamination runoff control, and sustainment assets to move bulk water to support decontamination and Class 2 IPE resupply. The staff identifies clean and dirty routes to each templated decontamination point and annotates them on the Common Operational Picture, COP. The Seaburn Officer and Medical Officer, MEDO, coordinate during this step of planning to identify the clean and dirty aid stations and ensure dissemination of clean and dirty routes to both. Fighting with fires. Many leaders are familiar with how to operationalize the breaching fundamentals breaching tenet of suppress, obscure, secure, reduce, and assault, SOSRA, as a framework for a combined arms breach. However, the nature of LISCO and requirement for ad hoc task organization changes generate friction that may prevent the TF from executing breaching operations in a synchronized manner. By incorporating flexibility into operation plans, OPLANs, friendly forces can rapidly overcome the inevitable friction associated with such a complex operation. Fires, as a critical piece of the combined arms fight, must develop a plan that incorporates flexibility to meet the commander's intent. This flexibility comes in many forms: redundancy in observation posts, OPs, use of alternative forms of observation, such as radar or UAV, and use of all lethal and non-lethal fires to maintain tempo. The use of unobserved fires may be higher than with which we are currently comfortable. Planners should incorporate targets based on enemy courses of action, COAs, and create options in the fires plan that support the commander's decision points. The TF staff should consider the actions that inform those decision points: friendly enemy attrition, commitment of friendly enemy forces along alternate avenues of approach, and the ability to bypass the obstacle belt. The S2 should also assess whether or not the fire support plan is robust enough to effectively support friendly forces during COA development. During breaching operations, commanders must mass the effects of overwhelming combat power against selected portions of enemy forces with an intensity the enemy cannot match. To achieve mass, commanders seek to create cumulative, synergistic effects at a specific point on the battlefield. This involves the delivery of direct and indirect fires in concert with one another that enable maneuver forces to rapidly move to the designated point of breach, reduce the obstacle, and assault farside objectives. In practice, this requires the fire support planner to concentrate their available resources at designated points in the operation. Suppression and obscuration fires timed to augment direct fire suppression and mortar-delivered smoke. TF staff synchronization during planning remains a paramount concern for the XO, who must ensure the FSO and S2 coordinate iteratively. The FSO relies on enemy and terrain information to develop an effective fires plan, while the S2 needs the FSO to help attrit enemy forces and gather information to answer information requirements for the commander. The FSO and TF engineer develop the fires plan with particular attention paid to specific events. The triggers must be clear for movement into OPs, initiation and ceasing of suppression and obscuration fires, and echeloning indirect fire systems. To effectively tie the flexibility, mass, and synchronization breaching tenets together, the FSO must create plans with functional fire support coordination measures, FSCMs, which fit into two categories, restrictive and permissive, and both should be used to create the effects needed to support the commander's intent. The use of restrictive measures, such as air coordination areas for Army attack aviation and restrictive fire areas over population centers, prevent fire on areas or friendly elements. Permissive measures allow the free application of fires into areas such as those with coordinated fire lines, CFLs, and fire support coordination lines, FSCLs. Planners should draw these measures during COA analysis since the war game reveals potential avenues of approach for friendly and enemy forces. FSCMs aid in synchronizing and massing fires while enabling friendly forces to visualize how the fire's plan supports the breaching operation. Units should incorporate the aforementioned planning considerations into rehearsals to provide responsive lethal and non-lethal fires. Timeliness issues normally involve a failure at one of the nodes in the sensor-to-shooter chain. Technical and/or tactical rehearsals usually identify these problems. At home station, fire supporters should participate in the military decision-making process, MDMP, for combat scenarios in the form of battalion, BN, or brigade training events. These events allow fire supporters to build rapport with the TF staff and gain a better understanding of how the supported commander intends to employ fires. To measure synchronization and mass, the FSO should create quantitative and qualitative measurements of effectiveness before executing the plan. The FSO should measure enemy rates of fire with and without suppression, the size of effective smokescreen versus size of point of breach, and the volume of fire of expected or known enemy locations. The training allows the FSO to provide valuable feedback to the field artillery, FABN, on the effectiveness of specific rates of fire and whether observer teams require additional training. Keeping it all under control. As described in Field Manual 6-02, Signal Support to Operations, 13 September 2019, LISCO are inherently mobile and require friendly forces to operate at distance away from command posts, CPs. This characteristic of LISCO highlights the need for detailed and redundant command and control, C2, planning. Four of the primary C2 considerations for breaching operations include retransmission planning in coordination with the observer plan, net management for voice communication, use of procedure words, pro words, and delineating responsibilities between CPs. Effective breaching operations capitalize on accurate and timely communication of key information to inform commanders and their staffs. Whether before, during, or after the breaching operation, signal support enables friendly forces to synchronize efforts and mass effects. Distance from CPs and between elements means retransmission planning is crucial. The S6 develops the retransmission plan in conjunction with the staff. At a minimum, it should account for command voice, and fire's digital nets. The fire's digital net is critical because it serves as an alternative means to process fire missions in case enemy action denies upper tactical internet, TI, capability. The retransmission plan needs to support the sensor-to-shooter chain. The S6 should consider OP locations and the requirement to provide fires voice communications between OPs and the next node in the sensor-to-shooter chain. A failure by the TFXO to synchronize the S6 and FSO could lead to significant delays in providing lethal fires. The S6 must also develop a voice communication plan to facilitate rapid, simple information sharing, especially among lower echelon units that lack access to data-driven networks. This plan should include a timeline for the occupation of retransmission sites and a detailed communications exercise, COMEX, between CPs, the support force, breach force, and assault force. Redundancy is critical when planning the voice communication plan and should include all available high-frequency, HF, very high-frequency, VHF, and ultra-high-frequency UHF tactical radio platforms. Additionally, by varying the platforms across the electromagnetic spectrum, EMS, friendly forces decrease the likelihood enemy EW systems will identify and target their location. Failure to develop a robust, redundant voice communication plan could contribute to a loss of momentum during breaching operations when synchronization and tempo are most required. To further improve chances for successful breaching, all participating forces should use common terms. The TF executing the breach will contain elements not normally assigned to the controlling headquarters. Commanders should establish specific, measurable benchmarks to denote what they mean by suppress and obscure. For example, smoke fired at targets fails to sufficiently describe the conditions that correlate to key calls. Instead, commanders should specify that obscuration is effective when the smoke prevents enemy forces from observing the breach force as they approach the point of breach from their assault position. Whether using pro words, for example, first down to signify suppression achieved and trigger the breach force to move to the point of breach, or calling events as they occur, for example, lane marked and proofed to trigger the assault force to move through the lane, the key calls must be rehearsed and understood by all participating forces. During preparation activities, the commander should specify the responsibility for reporting key calls. By doing so, units maintain tempo during breaching operations by limiting the chances of prematurely committing breach or assault forces because of errant reporting. To enable adequate control of the operation, the TFXO should identify the location and responsibility for the CPs. Commanders and key staff members must be able to see the battlefield to make accurate and timely decisions. Additionally, leaders must be located to control critical events such as ensuring effective suppression. Commanders must weigh their desire to personally influence critical events with the need to track the overall progress of the operation. Effective CP management involves the tactical command post, TAC, controlling direct fires and maneuver, while the main command post, MCP, controls indirect fire, information collection, battle tracking, and reporting. If nothing else, the TAC should focus on controlling the decisive operation to ensure friendly forces maintain the necessary mass, tempo, and synchronization required to overwhelm enemy forces. Takeaway for continued discussion. Combined arms breaching operations executed within the context of LISCO present a monumental challenge to commanders and staffs. Lethal battlefields, contested control over domains, and the speed of information create nightmarish conditions for this type of complex operation. Yet, it is possible to achieve the decisive outcome corps and divisions require of BCTs to win in large-scale ground combat. By focusing on fundamental requirements at echelon, units can achieve mastery over their assigned METs. This begins with commanders that drive the operations process by providing specific and timely intent to their staffs and subordinate commanders. In turn, each WFF lead must understand its impact on the operation and how to support the commander's requirements. Leader development and staff training exercises should focus on discussing the framework for breaching operations and draw heavily from doctrinal references such as ATP 3-90.4. Best practices, such as those in this chapter, are more appropriate for audiences that already demonstrate an understanding of how to organize for and execute combined arms breaches. The U.S. Army's National Training Center, NTC, stands ready to provide the ideal operational training environment, world-class opposing forces, OPFORs, and experienced observer coach trainers, OCTs, to prepare units for success.